World History presents Special Operations, narrated by Sam Devereaux. Introduction: Special Operations in Action. The battle is won, the enemy driven out, and everyone can breathe again. Many field generals thought this, but generals often make mistakes. Throughout World War II, specially trained soldiers make sure that the enemy never rested in peace. Command units struck anywhere and at any time. A German general was kidnapped in the middle of Crete, while commandos liberated Benito Mussolini from his prison on a mountaintop. And British units blew up factories in a Norwegian town to deprive Germany of important raw materials. The warring parties also employed trickery, like when the Nazis tried to undermine Britain's economy with fake banknotes, or when the British planted false documents on the corpse of an officer detailing plans for an imminent invasion of Greece. This issue takes you undercover on some of the war's most daring missions. Happy listening. Chapter 1. U-boat sneaks into British naval base. World War II is only 1 month old when the British are shaken by the first full strike. On 13th of October 1939, a German submarine slides into the heavily guarded British military port Scarpa Flow on the Orkney Islands and fires 7 torpedoes at the battleship HMS Royal Oak. There was a chill in the air on the evening of 13th of October 1939. Everything was quiet aboard the battleship HMS Royal Oak, which was anchored at Scarpa Flow in the Orkney Islands, one of Britain's safest and most closely guarded ports. Sunken naval vessels blocked the entrances to the harbour, and between these so-called block ships were submarine nets, meaning that the crew of the almost 200-metre-long Royal Oak could sleep soundly. Even though Britain had just declared war on Germany after Hitler's invasion of Poland a month earlier. Suddenly, a series of massive explosions filled the air with a deafening thunder as a huge column of water shot up the battleship's hull, with flames shooting out from the Royal Oak herself. Pieces of mast, chimneys, and parts of the command bridge were flung into the air, along with members of the crew. Some bodies flew through the air, while others had already died as they hit the oil-filled sea. Cries of burning soldiers blended with shouts for help from those who slowly drowned in the slick oil. The old British warship was hit hard and sinking. Precious minutes were lost before the British found out what had happened. Against all odds, an unknown submarine had found its way into the naval harbour, fired its torpedoes, and was already on its way back through the shallow Kirk Sound, where 4 block ships obstructed the exit. In Kirk Sound, the water depth was so low and the flow so erratic that fleet commanders were sure no vessel could penetrate. The area was not mined, and no submarine nets had been stretched out between the block ships. Germans wanted revenge. Anti-submarine nets were part of the standard mix in many bases used by the British Navy when warships were repaired or taken out of service. One of the oldest and best guarded was Scarpa Flow. It had been used since the Viking Age and was basically a natural harbour with a bay protected by a number of surrounding inlets and islets. The harbour, located centrally on the Orkney Islands north of Scotland, was secured during World War I with mines, submarine nets, and block ships. Among the sunken ships were several German ships from the First World War, where German naval vessels had been detained in Scarpa Flow and later sunk. The sinking of proud Kriegsmarine warships was not the only humiliation that the Germans experienced in connection with Scarpa Flow. Twice during World War I, Germany had attempted to attack British ships in the guarded natural harbour. Both missions failed. The first time was in November 1914, when the submarine U-18 was hit and sunk by a trawler. The second was in October 1918, when the submarine UB-116 was discovered by...